Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today is Thursday. What is today? November 16th. Halfway through November already, 1 week away from Thanksgiving. And we have a lot to talk about today.
It's been a big week.
Crazy amount to talk about today. Let's start with the ick of the week.
As is tradition.
Naturally. And then we'll get into, you know, a bunch of football stuff. I honestly, we should have wrote down everything we need to talk about.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll miss something.
But yeah, but okay. We'll see what happens. So, ick of the week this week. Ready? Set. The fellas, sitting cross-legged is a big no-no.
Oh, yeah.
Can't sit cross-legged.
Yeah, no, that would be too comfortable.
No, so don't expect to do that and get your girl.
Okay. Good to be aware of.
So, here's one thing we need to talk about for sure, and if there's something you have, we can do that first. But Big 12 tiebreaker scenarios and just kind of Big 12, what they're doing in general.
Seems good to me.
Have you seen, like, the Kansas State-Oklahoma State-Oklahoma scenario?
I have not seen this.
So, what the rule was, they're all two losses right now, tied for second.
Yeah.
The rule... Oklahoma State beat both Kansas State and Oklahoma, obviously.
Right.
So they have the head-to-head over those teams. But Oklahoma and Kansas State didn't play each other. So the rule went, because they didn't play each other, the rule is going to record against common opponents.
Uh-huh.
Which Kansas State would have gotten in on. Because they're 3-0 against, I think it was like UCF, Iowa State, and maybe like one other team or something like that. Baltimore has scored 3 touchdowns on this drive that have gotten called back by penalty.
That's incredible.
But everyone's like, Oklahoma State won, beat both those teams, they should get a go. So the Big 12 is changing the rule, like the tiebreaker order. Now I think head-to-head should matter, and Oklahoma State should get in. But you can't change the rules 2 weeks before the championship. Like, I'd be so mad if I was a Kansas State player or fan.
Yeah, no, you absolutely can't change the rule.
It's absurd. And it's a dumb rule. Like, I think everyone would say head-to-head should matter, and Oklahoma State won both of them. But with these conferences going away from divisions, we're going to see a ton of this, like, going forward, like, ties for, like, first or ties for second on record.
Yeah, absolutely.
The defending champs aren't going to get in because they changed the rules to not let them in.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, what is the point of having tiebreaker rules if you're just going to decide what you want them to be right before the championship?
I don't know. I think it's dude. Think if, like, let's say Oklahoma would have had the tiebreaker and they would have changed the rules to let Oklahoma State in.
Oh, yeah. People would lose their minds.
Especially in Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And Texas, for that matter, because there's already the conspiracy theory that the Big 12's out to get them.
Right.
You just can't do that.
Yeah, no, that's... At that point, if you're going to be changing rules, then I think you just got to go back to a coin flip, you know?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, how do you even... Yeah, there's got to be a way that Oklahoma State can sue or appeal or do something, right? Like, there's... I don't think there's any way that could actually get through.
Well, I mean, it sounds like it's a done deal.
That is... Yeah, I don't even know what to say. That's... I've heard of conferences in the NCAA doing a lot of bad things. From a sports perspective, that is probably the thing that makes the least sense I've ever heard.
It's so dumb. Makes no sense to me. So, that's something. Now, there's also a scenario where if every home team... I don't know. It's crazy it worked out this way. But if every home team wins the next 2 weeks in the Big 12,
mm-hmm.
then there'd be a 9-way tie thing for first place. And I don't even think any of us have looked into that as far as like what that would look like.
That would be so much fun. That would be, yeah, because the Big 12, it really is a bot. There's a lot of like 5-5 and 4-6 teams right now.
Yeah,
so that makes sense. I could see, if you were gonna ask me to guess which conference I was gonna happen in, I would say the Big 12. Yeah, at that point, like, a championship game doesn't even really feel like it matters.
No, like, what's the point?
Yeah.
It's so dumb. Like, because here's the thing. The SEC, there's going to be 16 teams. There could very well be, like Alabama, Ole Miss, and, like, Oklahoma, or, like, whatever in two. Or you could even throw, like, Florida. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Missouri. Like, there could be a 3- or 4-way tie easily for right. first or second place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or, like, if Georgia and Alabama, like, let's say... You know what I mean? Like, there's just so many teams. What's going to happen?
Yeah, and you're only going to play, like, what, 10 games a year before the championship, right? Something like that?
Yeah, and the conference right now in the SEC is only 8 games. So you only have 8 conference games.
Yeah, so 8 games for 16 teams. That really feels like we're going to have a ton of these tiebreakers. And, like, if you're going to break them into divisions, like, yeah, 8 divisions, like, 8 teams helps a little bit, but, like, clearly not enough.
It's just too many teams. Conferences should be, like, you should play everybody every year. Like, see, it's what's the point? Like, South Carolina and, like, right now in the current system, South Carolina plays Ole Miss, like, once every, not like, it's once every 7 years. You're not even the same conference. And more on a bigger stage, Florida plays Alabama once every 7 years.
Yeah, that seems like they'd figure out a way to get those two to play a little bit more.
Yeah.
So.
Like, LSU plays Georgia once every 7 years.
Right.
That's stupid.
It is dumb. Yeah, no, I think it really, at that point, it just feels like you've got two different conferences, and you have, like an NFL versus AFL Super Bowl sort of a thing going on.
A few years ago, North Carolina and Wake Forest scheduled each other as a non-conference game just so they could play each other.
I love that.
It was so, and it confused everybody.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it just feel like, and Matt Brown, who a friend of the show, posted an article about how sports are getting commercialized, kind of like movies are, and people are getting to the point where they're just not excited about movies because it feels like they're just trying to make as much money as possible. They're not trying to tell a good story. It just feels like with this in-season tournament with the NBA, I don't know if you want to talk about that today. And what's happening in college football? Like, it just feels like they're not concerned about the actual sport.
Yeah, well, the in season tournament, like, in it's being compared to, and the format isn't the same. It's compared to the most to, like, the FA Cup or Copa del Rey, like the in season soccer tournaments,
right?
In Europe, the difference is those have hundreds of years of history and matter quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, and also, I think there's an enormous structural difference in that those leagues don't have a playoff at the end of the season.
Right.
So if you have, this is a playoff that matters, and then it's like, oh, well, here's this other one. Like, why would anybody care about the other one? And, like, I heard Zach Lowe talking about, like, this would be a big deal for the Timberwolves. Like, okay, cool. Like, if we're going to celebrate them winning this tournament, it doesn't matter. Like, whatever.
Well, that's what I think it is. It's like teams like the Utah Jazz would be fun if they won.
Would it, though? Would it be fun to win?
We haven't won an NBA championship.
I guess, but like...
I'm not saying it'd be as big a deal, but it'd be nice to get a trophy.
I just don't think that I would get... Like, if people... We don't care about the regular season. Why are we going to care about this? I don't know.
I don't know. Or like Dame Lillard today, he's like he wants the prize money for like the guys at the end of the roster, like two-way contracts and stuff like that.
Okay.
I don't know how much motivation that is actually for him on the court, but, like, that's the best argument I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess anything to get the players more money, but...
You know, like, in Europe, last year, West Ham won the Europa League, which is... Well, that is... So, the top four teams in England and top four teams in Spain. It's, like, the best teams in the Europe go to Champions League, which we've talked about quite a bit on the show. And then below that, I think it's, like, what is it? The fifth and sixth place teams in the Premier League go, like...
Yeah, it's, something like that.
It's a smaller tournament, but it's, like, still a European tournament, but it's not even the best one. So it's, like, the second-best European tournament. West Ham won that. It was a club from London, and they went nuts.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, that one I feel like, because you're beating teams from Spain and Italy and stuff, I don't know that I'm going to throw a parade for winning the Europa League.
West Ham basically did.
Yeah.
Which I'm saying, well, like, European, like, they're in soccer, any trophy matters a ton.
Right.
Or, like, the Carabao Cup, which is the smaller in-season tournament within England, was a massive deal.
Right, you know?
Like, it was Newcastle and England, or Newcastle and Manchester United last year, and for Newcastle, it would have been their first trophy in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's like the... Like, the team of the NBA had two in-season tournaments. Part of the thing is, like, there's so many clubs there where you're playing against, like, I think there's 80 to 100 clubs across divisions, something like that, right. Just in England.
Yeah.
Where in the NBA, there's 30 teams.
Yeah.
You know? You're not playing G League teams. That makes it, part of the charm is, like, in the, I don't know what Germany calls their version of that tournament, but a third division team beat Bayern Munich, who are... there's not even an American team that's comparable to how dominant Bayern Munich is in Germany.
Right.
So seeing a third, it'd be like a double A team beating the Yankees if the Yankees were good.
Now I will say the reason that can happen about 98% of the time is because Bayern Munich doesn't particularly care about winning that tournament, and so they don't play their best players.
Well, I think they don't care about that game. I think once they get to the finals, they're all in it.
But
they weren't playing their best guys.
But I think that coaches are not disappointed and maybe a little bit grateful to not advance in the rounds, so that they don't have these midweek games ruining their quest to win the Bundesliga.
Yeah, you either win or lose in the first game is the ideal scenario for sure. Like losing in the semifinals sucks.
Right, and so that's like what I do think. That having the regular season games just be the games in this in-season tournament makes sense, because I think otherwise coaches would just for sure rest all their best players.
Yeah.
So I think you had to make them regular season games, otherwise it wouldn't work. You know, the other thing I saw about this that just blows my mind, and this will maybe take us back to college football a little bit. Did you know that the groups for the in-season tournament are not the divisions?
Yeah, do they even have divisions anymore?
They have them, but if you want to talk about, you know, conferences being too big, divisions being stupid in college football and stuff, like, there's truly no reason to have divisions in the NBA.
Like, when we were little, I remember winning the division was a big deal because you got, like, a top four seed for sure.
Right.
And I remember, like, the Jazz have, like, division championship trophies at the Delta Center.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time anyone even talked about the division. I literally didn't know the NBA still counted divisions or had divisions.
They still have them. But
what's the point?
I mean that
it means nothing, right?
If you're not going to make the divisions the groups for this tournament, then there's just no reason to have.
Cuz aren't there three groups in each conference?
That I don't know. I mean, it would make sense just based on the number of teams that they have.
Cuz if there's more or less than three groups, it makes a little bit of sense that they're not. But if there's three groups, you had it right there.
Yeah. Like, it just, it was so obvious.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So, I seem to be less excited about this tournament than you are. So.
Do I seem excited about it?
Well, no, but you seem to think that people will be happy about this, and I don't, if you're the, Timberwolves or the Jazz, I think you should be embarrassed to be excited about winning this.
I think it'll be, like, more excitement than winning a regular season game.
Yes, but.
I don't think it'll be, like. If Minnesota wins, but they don't make the playoffs, it's not going to be like a successful season. But
right, yeah, like this is the kind of thing that they would celebrate, and people would make fun of Karl Anthony Towns for being happy about.
Well, that's another thing actually we need to talk about. Speaking of Karl Anthony Towns, we were talking about Minnesota and the NBA, and Karl Anthony Towns made me think of the fight.
Oh yeah, well we got to talk about
just because he wasn't even. There's so many things going on. First of all, when we saw the fight. The first angle we saw was like a close-up.
Yeah.
So we didn't see Draymond. We didn't see Rudy. And then, we just saw Rudy in the headlock, basically.
Right.
The second video we saw, we realized the game hadn't even started yet. Yeah. It was 0-0.
0-0. That I was talking to my kids about the – or my students about the game, and that was the detail they liked the most, that it was 0-0.
And then the third video we saw, the gift that keeps on giving, we realized Draymond was like the other end of the court and just went straight to Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, no intention of breaking up the fight.
Not even close. Did you hear Steve Kerr be like, well, Rudy had Clay in a headlock? Like, Rudy had gotten there about maybe half a second before Draymond did.
Right.
Like, there's like Draymond didn't think, like, see that happening and be like, oh, I have to go get Rudy off. Like, he just went straight. Rudy could have been away from the scrum and he still would have gone for Rudy.
Right. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No, he just saw this like, oh, this is a chance to fight Rudy. That's what this is for me.
And then you saw Rudy's quote, I hope.
About Draymond being a clown?
No. So, well, I mean, that's the effect of it.
Yeah.
But so Clay didn't play, or Steph didn't play in that game for rest or something.
Right.
So Rudy was like, well, I knew Draymond would try to get ejected early because he can't do anything without Steph.
Yeah. That is good. But he did call him a clown. You heard that, right?
I mean, no, but
yeah, so he was,
I believe it.
Well, they asked him about Steve Kerr saying that Rudy had his hands on Clay's neck, which, by the way, and you can make a better football analogy than I can, but like if you're, I don't know, Cam Chancellor and you're tackling Tyreek Hill, you have to hit him in the helmet because you're just taller than he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like Rudy Gobert is so much taller. If you're going to touch Clay, then you're going to touch him on the neck whether you want him to or not. So anyway, that's about Steve Kerr talking about Rudy having his hands on Clay's neck. And he's like, look, he's got to say that because he's got to stick with his guy, but I think deep down he knows that he's a clown. So it just, like, it's crazy the amount of disdain that Draymond has for Rudy. Like, you get the idea that there's players don't respect Rudy. You know, Anthony Edwards, before Rudy was on the team, said he wasn't afraid of Rudy. All these people talking about not being afraid of going at Rudy, and he still has the best defensive numbers in the league, so I don't know why people think they are going at him when they just refuse to shoot when they're close to him. But anyway, yeah, no, for Draymond, it's just losing that defensive player of the year, that really has just, you know, he's never been able to let go of that.
Did it? Was the crying when Rudy didn't make the All-Star team, was that the first, like, public spat?
That was the first public thing I'm aware of, yeah. I have to imagine that, you know, Draymond said something about how he should have won one over Rudy, but I think that was kind of the first one that was, like, out of the norm.
Is Draymond or Pat Bev more of a guy who you would say, like, you love them if they're on your team, hate them if they're not on your team? Because they're both in that category, I think.
I mean, what I think Rudy said that has a grain of truth is that the fans of the Warriors and certainly his teammates have got to be sick of him being suspended all these games, right? Like, they've got, like, as annoying as Pat Bev is.
Well, it almost cost him the Sacramento series. It did cost him a championship.
Yeah, it did cost him a championship. Absolutely, right? So, like, it's got to be so frustrating. And, like, Pat Bev, like, he's not as important, so if he got suspended, I don't think it'd be as big of a deal, obviously. But, like, he's not getting suspended every single year. He's just annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So I think, as a fan, it would be easier to support Pat Bev's antics.
In a way, because Draymond's better, but the antics are, like, extrapolated, makes it worse. Like, both of it makes it worse.
Yeah, both of it makes it worse. And obviously, you know, getting suspended all that time. Like, as a fan, that's got to be so frustrating. Like, he's going to, if we care about one of these in-season tournament games, he's going to miss one of those.
Yeah. Well, he's suspended for 5 games.
Yeah.
So is Rudy.
No, he's not. He got fined. He's not suspended. Oh, he didn't get suspended? No, he didn't get suspended.
I thought him, Clay, and Draymond got suspended.
What I read is that, you know, it's a good thing we're really well informed.
Yeah.
But I read Jaden McDaniels, Clay, Rudy, and Draymond all got fined, but that Draymond was the only one who was suspended for 5 games.
It's kind of funny / sad that Rudy got suspended for getting put in a chokehold.
Yeah. Fined, you mean?
Fined, yeah.
Yeah. I know. Well, he said he was going to appeal that because he's like, you can see me in the chokehold. I'm not fighting back. And when I was with Clay, I was trying to break up the fight. So I hope he wins that appeal.
Well, yeah, it's stupid.
I don't think he will. I think that, you know, the NBA is just going to stick with it because probably just don't want to be dealing with appeals for every single thing.
The NFL is just stealing money from players. So the NBA might as well do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, the fines the NFL is doling out for, like, just regular football plays is crazy.
Yeah.
It's a ripoff. You know what the worst part of the tournament, in-season tournament is the courts.
Oh, these are really,
they're
really bad.
They're so bad.
Yeah.
The Indianapolis one is terrible. The Chicago one is just so much red. Like, it sounds like they're, like, super slippery, too, and there's, like, dead spots all over the court.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That?
Like, from, I think, I don't, am I think it was Luka, but it was, like, a big player who said that.
Yeah, well, that was, yeah, the Mavs had to just not use their court, I remember, so it would make sense that it was Luka.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and, like, the worst one to me is the Nuggets and the Heat because they're taking – well, the Nuggets because they're 5,280 feet. And
who
then
cares?
The Heat because of talking about the Heat culture. Like, Heat culture is only cool if we're not bragging about it.
Yeah, the second you start saying it, like, in social media posts and stuff, it's, like, not that big of a deal.
Anymore. Yeah, yeah. Then we don't care.
The point of it is it's, like, you're just stoic and work your butt off more than everybody else. Not that you brag about working your butt off more than everybody
else. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, no. Yeah, Heat culture, if they really want a Heat culture court, it would just be a wood court.
I bet Udonis Haslem isn't super thrilled about that.
No, I wouldn't.
Is he still on the team?
I don't think. I think he's finally not on the team. I'm pretty sure he's, like, still in the building as a special advisor to the coach or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. Like, if you have to tell people how tough you are, how cool you are, you're probably not that tough or cool.
Yes. Yeah, no, I agree with that. And with the Denver thing, with the mile thing, it's like people already can't breathe. You know, we're all aware. Like, we're happy that it's a nice round number for you guys, but it's not, I mean, you know, there are other NBA places that are also at high elevation.
Has anyone... You know what no one brings up about Denver is that the ski resorts are literally, like, what's the closest one? Breckenridge, like 2 hours?
Yeah, something like that.
It's crazy. Like, I have a friend who lives in Denver, and we're thinking about going to, like, Steamboat Springs, and it's almost the same distance for both of us together.
Yeah. Yeah, at that point, it's like, yeah, the ski resorts are not in Denver.
And if we're in Salt Lake, one, two... Three, so the four of the Valley plus two Park City ones, Snow Basin, Sundance. There's like at least eight that are like an hour from Salt Lake City.
For sure. Well, yeah, from our house, and we happen to live close to Big Cottonwood Canyon. If there were no snow, I think I could be in Brighton in less than 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously, you know, snow is going to slow things down a little bit. Going to be more traffic and stuff, but yeah, so... So anyway, sorry, Denver, you are not as cool or fun a place as Salt Lake.
No, it's not. And, like, it's great because Colorado, the state, is awesome. Denver is Kansas.
A lot of it is.
Colorado's very cool. Like, Breckenridge, Vail, like, you know, that, is it Greeley? Green?
No, Greeley, you know better than me. I don't know.
It's cool. But, yeah, Denver, and it's, like, a fine city, but it's Kansas. It's not. You know what I mean? It's
yes.
Literally, when I first went to Denver and went to the airport, I was like, this is what I thought Kansas looked like. And then we went to Kansas. It's like, it is what Kansas looks like.
Yes, yeah.
Should we talk about the football rankings?
Let's do talk about the football.
Colorado's rankings. Not in them, but there are a lot of teams in them. So, if we start at the top, there's a big couple big games this week. But if we start at the top, Georgia passed Ohio State after taking it to Ole Miss. Can you see that?
Yes.
I have Michigan number one, but that was the first time I was like, if you have Georgia number one, I get it.
Uh-huh.
Although Michigan, that Penn State game was interesting. So one, you know, we talked about Jim Harbaugh last week, but they find out Friday on the plane that Jim Harbaugh is getting suspended on a holiday. What holiday was it, by the way?
Veterans Day.
Oh, I feel I'm American for knowing that. Courts were closed, so they couldn't even, like, file an injunction or whatever the legal term is. So Jim Harbaugh doesn't coach. They throw the ball 8 times the whole game, like 32 straight runs. They beat Penn State. A lot of people are viewing it from the, like, oh, they didn't trust J.J. McCarthy. I'm viewing it from it's pretty degrading for the other team if you're just running it down their throat. At first, I was like, let's see J.J. McCarthy rip it, you know, but... Like, it's kind of humiliating to beat a team when you don't even throw the ball.
Yeah. No, if you can get 5-6 yards a run, you should do that 2/3 of the time.
Yeah.
At least, if not 100% of the time.
It's tiring. It's demoralizing just, like, walking down the field, basically. Yeah. Like, having your way with it.
Right.
And it's not, like, flashy, but Sherrone Moore, the offensive coordinator and acting head coach, he was just like, well... screw this. Let's just run it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. Like you said, it's not flashy. We're not going to talk about it as much. But every good football team you see, especially in college, definitely in the NFL too, but especially in college, is going to have a really, really good run game.
You know what? Who was more excited about the win than anybody else besides Sherrone Moore, seemingly, was J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
He didn't care.
No, yeah, he just wants to win.
He probably blew his Heisman chances in that game, too, and all he cared about was, like, winning that game.
Yeah.
They are dialed in. The Ohio State game is going to be awesome.
That's funny. Yeah, how many more weeks do we have till that?
Just two.
2 weeks.
It's the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Oh, nice.
This is the stupid week where Alabama plays like Chattanooga and like Ole Miss plays like UT Martin or something like that.
Oh, yeah, the break week.
But next week is awesome. But a couple big games this week. Now, here's something that could hypothetically happen. So, Florida State's number four, Washington's number five. They play Oregon State on the road this week. Washington's actually an underdog.
To Oregon State?
Yeah, but yeah. I think it's like 2 points.
Yeah, Oregon State, 11, highest rank of the year, I would assume.
Yeah. They're a good team. And we'll circle back to that in the weekly picks. But Oregon's number six. Let's walk through this scenario. Because I actually, let's say Alabama beats Georgia. Alabama wins out, beats Georgia in the SEC championship.
Yeah.
Let's say either Ohio State or Michigan. We'll say Michigan because that's who I think is the best team in the country. But either one of them, they win out. Florida State wins out. Texas wins out. They win the Big 12. Washington wins out. So you got undefeated Washington, undefeated Michigan. Those two are in for sure. You have to put Florida State in, right? If they go undefeated?
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
So then you got one more spot for one loss Georgia, SEC champ Alabama, or Big 12 champ Texas. All three with one losses. I think what would happen is Alabama would get in. What should happen is Texas should get in because in that scenario, they beat Alabama at Alabama.
Yes, and Alabama beat Georgia.
Yeah. So if you're not rewarding that, what's the point? You know, it's crazy to think of a playoff without the SEC in it. But in that scenario, what would be the defense the committee have for not putting Texas in over Alabama? Now, to be fair, Texas is ranked ahead of Alabama right now. But if Alabama beats Georgia, it's very foreseeable that they would get in.
You know what's funny is what they would say is that Alabama, the logic would be they have a better win than Texas does, but Texas beat Alabama.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there would be no way that you could say that they should get in.
No, there'd be no justification.
Yeah.
At all.
Like the only thing you'd say is like, well, Alabama's best win was later in the season, but like that's
dumb. What they would say is that Alabama's playing better later.
Right.
But why do we even play games in September if they don't matter though?
Yeah, for sure.
Like even what would be nice for the committee is if that happens, if Oregon beats Washington, I think they'd put Texas and Alabama in. And then Oregon or the Pac-12 champ would get left out. Or like Washington State loses to Oregon State but then wins the Pac-12. I think the Pac-12 would get left out in that scenario.
Yes, I think.
Because they're going to do everything they can to put the SEC in.
Right.
You have to put Texas in. Now, I think there's a chance Texas, if Kansas State makes the Big 12 championship, which, again, we just talked about, they're kind of getting screwed here. I think there's a chance Kansas State wins the Big 12. So it's not the most likely scenario, what I just outlined. But people would lose their minds if Alabama got in over Texas.
Yeah. Now, that is because Texas, I think, of the teams that you mentioned, are probably the most likely to go undefeated, certainly up until championship week. I don't know. Well, I guess Alabama's playing Chattanooga, whoever.
Yeah, because Alabama, so they play Chattanooga. I think it's Chattanooga. It's somebody stupid. And then Auburn. Texas plays at Iowa State, which is tricky, but Texas should win that game.
Yeah.
And then home against Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas Tech's going to be fired up. And that's my most disappointing team of the year. I thought they were going to be Big 12 champs. I thought they were going to be really, really good.
Yes, you did. I remember that.
So I was wrong there. You know who I think is the third best team in the country?
Oh, hold on. Let me. Oregon?
Oregon, yeah.
Yeah.
But I have them, I think, fifth or sixth in my rankings because Washington beat them. So you have to put Washington ahead of them.
Yeah, that has to matter.
Yeah. Like, when I'm doing my rankings, I look at is who do I think would win? So if the teams have played and I know who would win, I have to respect that.
Yes, for sure.
You know who's not in the rankings? Texas A&M.
No, they're not.
After a 51-17 win, they fired Jimbo Fisher. And the rationale I've heard is that if they go on a hot streak, win this week, win at LSU, end up 9-4, they're not going to be able to fire Jimbo Fisher, so they just fire him now.
Well, why didn't they fire him the week before the win?
I don't know.
Doesn't make a lot of
sense. I don't know. Yeah, if you're going to fire him, you should have fired him. Maybe the check from the booster didn't clear until this week? I don't know.
Yes, I don't know.
$76 million. Do you know what the previous buyout was?
For previous record?
Yeah, for buyout in college football.
I'm going to say $40
million. 20.
20. See, I thought 20, and it's like, well, if he's 70, then it's got to be higher than that. So.
That, yeah, he almost quadrupled the record.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Oh, that's crazy. $76 million.
You know what's crazy, though? Like, everything I've read about who Texas A&M should hire or try to hire is from the viewpoint of if you're the Texas A&M general manager, you have to go for that. But the players, there was like Dan Campbell, the Detroit, Dan Lanning at Oregon. So he played at Texas A&M. That's why he was on the list.
Okay, sure. Well, I can come back to that. Who's the other person on this list?
Dan Lanning at Oregon, and he came out flat out right away and was like, I'm not going. I have everything I need. Like, Oregon pays me a ton. You know what I mean? Like, why would I go there?
Yeah.
Kalen DeBoer, who he didn't say no. Dabo Swinney didn't say no. Deion Sanders didn't say no when they asked about it. Dan Lanning's the only one who said, like, no.
Yeah.
Which I get, because you don't want to say no, and then you go, and then it's a whole thing.
Sure.
But the Oregon players loved Dan Lanning's response.
Right.
Dan Lanning's is quickly on the up high of the list of, like, who I would want to play for if I was a player.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Well, yeah, no, he's the one, and, you know, I think even more than Dabo Swinney, who's like, this is very clearly a better job than the A&M job.
Yeah. I think A&M is, at best, 7th best job in the SEC.
In the SEC?
Yeah. Just in this conference. So you got Alabama. Well, LSU's maybe the best job in the country.
Yeah.
Alabama, Florida, Georgia, now Texas. You can argue Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
I'd say Oklahoma.
Oh, I think Oklahoma for sure.
Oklahoma has, like, yeah, they're going to do everything they can to win. So that's 6. Let's see if there's any other schools we can think of.
I mean,
Texas A&M has more money than Ole Miss.
Yeah, well, Ole Miss was, yeah, exactly what I was thinking. I don't know. I feel like I would rather, if we're only talking about football stuff, like, let's, like, not talking about where you would want to live, I don't know. I just, like, Ole Miss has had more success than A&M, I feel like.
I think Tennessee's a better job.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, Texas A&M has more money to buy more players. But at Ole Miss, you can go 9-3 and 10-2, and you're great.
Yeah.
Jimbo's getting fired. Because, I mean, he wasn't going. He went 10-2 once, I think, like, the COVID year. But, like, he wasn't cutting it. But Texas A&M expects you to win like you're at Alabama, and they've just never done that.
Yeah, no, that,
but I think the late 90s they were decent.
Right. Yeah, no, you're just never going to win enough. Even if they had enough money, as much money as Alabama and Georgia and stuff for buying players, it's just you're not going to, you know, not in the next 20 years.
Well, they had 2 years ago, 24/7 Composite rated them the best recruiting class ever.
Yeah, okay.
And like, all those players are, so, well, they've, a lot of them transferred, but sophomores now, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they just, I think, I was trying to think of other jobs, and if you can think of any, let me know, but, like, where the expectations exceed the most, like, what the realistic outcomes are. I think it's number one. I'm trying to think of other places that are like that. I don't think there's another one. Like, maybe Auburn?
Maybe Auburn, but like,
I think they know they're not going to beat Alabama most of the time.
Yeah, I think they're resigned to their fate, as unhappy as they are about it.
I think Ole Miss has had, I think, like, I literally think it's been like 1-10 win season ever. So I think they know what they are. Yeah. I think they care about it a lot.
Right, but they're aware of just this is what it's going to be.
Yeah.
So
Florida State has 3 national championships, including one within the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. So I think that's realistic for them to expect to be there.
For sure.
LSU, same thing. Like, I don't know what job expects you to win national championships every year and hasn't won one in who knows how long.
Yeah. I think now I don't think this fan base expects it every year, but I think this made me think of BYU in the sense of the fans necessarily, although the president of the university I think the president of the university would be fine with BYU having a 7 or 8 win season every year.
Yeah, BYU fans aren't, because they expect us to, like, they fired Bronco Mendenhall. He was winning, I guess Bronco Mendenhall left because he was sick of it.
Yes.
But he was winning 11 games every year.
Every year, and people did not like him.
It's absurd. And now look at Kalani Sitake. And I see people be like, they need to get Kalani Sitake going. The problem with BYU, like, the coach has to be a member of the church, the head coach.
Uh-huh.
Who are you going to get? There's no one out there. Kyle Whittingham's not going to Provo.
No, he's not. Yeah, he's...
Morgan Scalzi's not going to BYU.
No.
He hates BYU as much as any person I know hates the school.
Yeah. Ken Niumatalolo has already said no.
He's got fired, too.
Yeah.
He'd be the best bet, though.
Yeah, he'd be the best thing. And, like, you can't run the triple option at BYU.
No.
Like, that's just not with,
like,
work.
Jay, is it, who's the, what was the Weber State coach who went to be a coordinator at BYU?
Jay Hill?
I think he'd be the best bet.
Yeah, probably. And he's a good coach.
If they fired Kalani Sitake and hired Jay Hill, I think it'd be fine. But, like, BYU has, they're in the Big 12, which is great, but they're the second best school in their state. Which is Utah. It's not like you're the best school in Florida.
Right. For football.
For football.
Yep.
You have the honor code.
Yep.
Provo's not a place the average non-Mormon person wants to live.
Correct.
There's just a lot of uphill battles you're fighting in recruiting.
Yeah. So as far as, yeah, I think... And I think the average BYU fan is not expecting a national championship every year. They expect one eventually, but not on the same level of Texas A&M.
They expect to beat Utah more than once every 15 years.
Yeah, which should be fair, frankly.
I mean, Utah, program-wise, is a lot better.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with
that. Once every 15 years is quite a bit of losing, though.
Yeah, it's a lot. That's like Oklahoma, Oklahoma State levels.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as, you know, I think that the expectations of the fan are higher than... are further than the reality than perhaps even Texas A&M.
That's true. Yeah, BYU fan expectations are super. I will, to this day, never understand why they weren't happy with Bronco. Like, and we would talk about this when we were in college, because Bronco was a coach when we were in college.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is far above any realistic ceiling or expectation, like, year in, year out performance.
Yeah.
Not only did they win a lot of games, they were, like... They beat Texas. They embarrassed Texas twice.
Uh-huh.
Like, they almost won another. I know almost. I'm just going off the top of my head. But, like they were playing big programs and playing well.
Yeah.
They beat Oklahoma.
Yeah, Sam Bradford's Oklahoma.
Yeah, who was I think they're number 3 team in the country at the time.
Yeah, it might have been the first game of the season.
Other than TCU, BYU had, I felt pretty confident they were going to hang in there with everybody.
Sure,
TCU,
yeah.
They never had a chance.
No, yeah, something about, they just have our number.
No, yeah. No, and Kalani, I love the guy, but I think this is a much more realistic expectation for BYU football.
Yeah, for sure. And now, to be fair to Kalani, you know, the independent thing was weird, and I think that made recruiting very unusual. And I think that Utah is a more attractive place for players to go with Kyle these Kalani years than it was with the Bronco years, I think, because it was especially less competitive. Because when Bronco was there, BYU was getting every TimView player no matter what, right?
Yeah, BYU was, I would say, winning the in-state recruiting.
Yes.
Off the top of my head.
And when Bronco left, that was no longer the case, which is interesting because...
And he even started to shift a little bit before he left. Like,
sure, yeah, certainly before he left, yeah. But Kalani was, like, perhaps his best thing about a coach is being a recruiter, which is really interesting. And then I forget... was going to say. Yeah. So I think that was weird. I think being independent made it weird for people to recruit. So I do want to – I am very, very hopeful, actually, for the Big 12. I think that's going to stabilize the program, and I think it's going to make recruiting easier than it has been in the past.
Not to make this Utah BYU thing, but part of the thing with – and this is probably more out-of-state than in-state players. But, like, when Utah started getting – And so in Utah, there's Salt Lake County, where University of Utah, Salt Lake City is, and then Utah County, which is just south of it. That's where BYU is. Timpview High School, Lone Peak High School, powerhouses in the state of Utah. All those kids would go to BYU no matter what.
Yes. Yeah, not even debate.
But if, like, Chase Hansen, he's a kid who won Mr. Football in Utah. He went to Utah. Britton Covey, who was a BYU legacy, went to Utah. A kid with Corbin's a kid who went to Utah, right? Transferred to Utah, Corbin Cafusi.
Corbin played basketball, right?
Or was it Devin Cafusi?
I don't think it was
one
Corbin.
Of the Cafusis. Apologies for not remembering, but there's a legacy family. Like, his two older brothers played at BYU. His dad coached at BYU, I think. Definitely played there. And he went to Utah. Like, once BYU started losing those guys, it was kind of game over.
Yeah. Chase Hansen was like, oh, that's very unusual. Britton Covey was like, oh, we have a tremendous problem. This is horrible. This is the worst thing that's ever happened.
Isn't there a building at BYU, like a Covey building or something like that? Like, his grandpa's like a massive deal in the state of Utah.
Yes.
And they're a big BYU. Like, Covey lived down the street from BYU.
Yeah, well, and the Cafusis have truly like 15 kids who have all played at BYU, whether volleyball or football or basketball.
Remember, right? Whoever the basketball one, I think it was Corbin. We were watching him play basketball. I was like, he would be a great defensive end. And then I think the next season he was on the football team.
And then he was a great defensive end.
I was
end.
So validated. Yeah. It felt great.
He was in the NFL for a second. I know Bronson was.
Yeah, I think Bronson had the best NFL career.
Yeah, but Corbin was in there for a second, I think.
But yeah, once BYU started losing those guys, and Utah put so many people in the NFL, I think they're second to Iowa, or maybe they're first in terms of NFL production over expectation as far as like high school recruiting rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you're winning Pac-12 championships. Like, you're starting to get those like 4-star guys a little bit at Utah. I think Utah's going to go in and not win every single year, obviously, but I think they're going to be a top 3 program as long as Kyle Whittingham's in there in the Big 12.
Yeah, they're going to be really good. And Big 12. Although we talked about, and you remind me, I feel like we may have talked about this off podcast though, but as far as guys in the NFL right now, despite, you know, how many more people BYU Utah's getting in the Pac-12, you know, the NFL players that people know, you know, Fred Warner.
Best linebacker in the NFL.
Right?
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson. But yeah, you know, like Jamal Williams, really good running back.
Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill, you know, very, very, very useful football player, even though we don't know how to talk about him. There's another really good defensive player that we mentioned.
Michael Davis, cornerback for the Chargers.
Right. And then, you know, Kyle Van Noy, who I know is out of the league for the first couple of weeks, but he's been really, really good since he's been back.
Yeah, playing in this game with Baltimore.
Yeah. And so BYU's having, you know, maybe the best NFL moment they've ever had right now.
Yeah, I mean, we'd have to look at how many of those quarterbacks were playing at the same time back in the day.
Yes, but I mean, even with the quarterbacks, you know, it was really Jim McMahon and Steve Young that were kind of like successful NFL quarterbacks, though, right? Because Ty Detmer was there for a long time, but he was a backup for a long time.
I think Coy Detmer was better than Ty in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. You know, Jim McMahon, 85 Bears quarterback.
Yeah.
He is, I feel bad saying this, but like, if I'm thinking of CTE, I think of Jim McMahon, kind of, you know?
Yeah, no.
Like the serious stuff. Like, it doesn't just seem like you could tell he's like, had quite a bit of head trauma.
Yeah.
I feel bad saying that.
Yeah, no, that'll be interesting eventually if he ever gets tested, but. Yeah,
you know who played quarterback at BYU, and I know you know this, but I don't think a lot of people do, is Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah.
Texas Longhorns.
Yeah, member of the 91 BYU team that a lot of people think is better than the 84 national championship team.
Yeah, they were really good.
Yeah. Lost to Washington.
I think, was that the year Washington? BYU-Washington, I think we talked about this. That's like an underrated, like, massive rivalry game.
Yeah, we talked about this like a month ago.
Like, they don't play that often. They hate each other.
They do. They really do. Yeah, BYU Washington's a big deal. BYU Wyoming, very big deal. I feel like
it's San Diego State. BYU basketball beat San Diego State.
We did. That was great. Yeah, that's for basketball. Yeah, the San Diego State's a huge one. I never really felt it with the football team. It's too bad Texas is leaving because I think BYU Texas could turn into a thing.
I enjoy playing Texas.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's fun.
That's a bummer they're going to the SEC.
Yeah. Oh, you know what else happened? And this is a kind of a shift in topic, but college basketball. Caleb Love, I apologize, went to Cameron Stadium and beat Duke again.
That's just so great.
And it was like the second game Coach K had ever watched. And why is he not doing that? Roy Williams like follows the team, North Carolina, like a groupie, and it's awesome. What is Coach K doing where he can't go to the games? Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, maybe he just has been to enough basketball games. I don't know.
He's been to quite a bit of them.
But
Bobby Knight died. That might have been a week ago.
It's been a sec. I don't know that we talked about that. But yeah, I don't have too much because he was at Texas Tech when we were growing up. So
yeah, he was past his Indiana days.
Yeah, so that we're less aware of Bobby Knight than I think a lot of people are.
Yeah, the Caleb Love thing. Him and Nick Bosa are the only two players, people younger than me, who I think I'd wear a jersey from.
Yeah.
The Duke-Carolina game, like Coach K's last game, I haven't, like, laughed at a sporting event that much in my entire life. Like, it wasn't even, like, the happiest I've ever been. It was just, like, hysterically laughing.
Yeah. Just truly... Yeah, so funny. And then to beat them in the Final Four.
It was crazy. Like, I don't even think, obviously they wanted to win the national championship, but, like, I don't think Carolina fans really care. I think they, like, beating Duke in the Final Four is better than any national championship.
Yeah, well, especially because Coach K was retiring.
Yeah.
If he were retiring, then I think that they would be more interested in the national championship. But, yeah. No, what could be better than the final game in Cameron and then in the Final Four?
Nothing, literally nothing. Like, unless it was like literally the national championship. Like, other than that, like, nothing's better.
But it would have to be the national championship in the same year, because I think...
Yeah, literally the same, like, beating, like, if they would have just been on different sides of the bracket and played in the national championship.
Yeah, in a vacuum, though, I think they would, yeah, national championship is far below those things.
Yeah, Carolina. Oh, 100%.
Far below.
100%, you're never going to forget that.
Do you think... Because Duke wasn't really like that with Roy Williams, I don't think. Do you think they would have felt that way about Dean Smith?
Like beating Duke?
Yeah, or no, as far as Duke, like would they have gotten as much pleasure in Dean Smith's last game?
I don't think so.
I don't think they would have either. And I certainly don't think they would have with Roy Williams because he wasn't there for nearly as long.
I think Carolina fans had a particular hatred for Coach K.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Like, I'm just going through my head right now. Like, obviously, LSU fans and Nick Saban, I don't think they really like him.
No, for sure, yeah.
I'm trying, like, where a player, a school hates the other team's coach as much or more than the school in and of itself.
Uh-huh.
Just going through my head. I don't think there's anything that compares to that. Maybe Nick Saban and LSU, maybe. I don't even think that, though. Like, it seems like LSU fans are kind of over that, just because it's been so long.
Yes, it has been a long time.
I'm sure some of them aren't, obviously.
Well, and that's even different to me, because Nick Saban left and was like, I will not go to Alabama, and then he did. So it's like a thing they did against them. Coach K just won a lot of basketball games.
Yeah.
So, like, which I'm sure was very, very frustrating.
Did you see that thing? So the... Cooper Flagg, the number one commit or recruit committed to Duke, and like Slam Magazine. It might not have been Slam, so I apologize. But A Magazine had a picture of him in Cameron with like a pitchfork on fire. And it said like Cooper Flagg joins the Brotherhood or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And some person was like, how tone deaf, or like they just didn't know that Duke football called themselves the Brotherhood. And everyone, like, they were saying, like, and I get, like, the aspects of it, like, a burning pitchfork in the Brotherhood's, like, not a good look.
Yes.
But that's just, like, everything about Duke, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, I do understand, yeah, I don't know. Are you going from the racial perspective or the religious perspective?
They were going from the racial perspective.
Okay, yeah.
Because I didn't even think of the religious.
Yeah, that was what I thought of first, which
I think they were going for like a Charlottesville thing.
Yes. Yeah, no, that okay. That makes much more sense.
Yeah.
So.
And again, I know it's not like the best optic, but like first of all, that wasn't even what I thought. And like anyone who even loosely pays attention to college basketball, like knows like all those Duke players at the game were wearing like the Brotherhood shirts at Coach K's last game.
Yeah.
That was another thing. All those Duke players were at the game.
Yeah. No, sir. Like, can you imagine being one of those Duke players and then going to the next reunion? It's like, oh, you losers who just blew it twice.
Oh, man. Paolo Banchero had a pretty good rookie year.
Had a great rookie year.
Yeah. He was. So North Carolina obviously missed the tournament last year, which was the next year, and Banchero was like talking crap. Like, you don't get to say anything if you were on that team.
Never again.
You don't get to say one word.
Never, ever again.
Should we do the top five?
Yes, absolutely.
Unless there's, I think we kind of covered Jimbo getting fired, the Big 12 scenario. I don't even remember kind of what we talked about, but I feel like we talked about a lot of stuff.
We have gone through a lot of stuff. Do you want to do your picks real quick?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. So these are my picks of the week. Thanks for reminding me. So speaking of Washington, I told you they were going to be in here. Washington, I picked. So I have them as 2.5-point underdogs is where I got them at. So they just need a win. So Washington plus 2.5 is the pick there. Utah plus 1 at Arizona. So I think Utah's better than Arizona. I love Jed Fish, like what they're doing. I think Utah. We're a little underrating them there for some reason. They're only 22.
Oh, interesting.
In the country.
Yeah.
Michigan minus 19 against Penn State. I think J.J. McCarthy is going to be throwing the ball this game. They'll kill him. Georgia's only a 10-point favorite against Tennessee.
That surprises me.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should be higher than that.
I jumped on that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. And then this last one, I didn't know what to pick. I was going through a bunch of different stuff. I ended up picking Oklahoma State minus 7. And I'll be honest, I forgot who they were playing. Let me pull that up. We didn't talk about how stupid the MLS playoffs are. Oklahoma State's playing Houston.
Okay, yeah. We talked about the playoffs last week a little bit, so I think we're okay.
It's just a dumb format. So Oklahoma State minus 7. So I'll recap that because Utah plus 1 against Arizona, Michigan minus 19 against Maryland, Georgia minus 10 against Tennessee, Washington plus 2.5 against Oregon State, and then Oklahoma State minus 7 against Houston. I went 3-1-1 last. No, I went 3-2 or 4-1. Winning week, whatever it was. So I was 26-25-4. So just above 500.
Hey, there
I feel good about all those except Oklahoma State. I feel like very confident in.
Yeah,
Washington will be tough because Oregon State's good.
Uh huh.
But Georgia minus 10. How are they only 10-point favorites?
Yeah, that. It seems like, yeah, because this is not the Tennessee of last year.
No,
so,
it's not.
So, yeah, that one
it's
is.
The Tennessee team got curb stomped by Missouri.
Yeah, that is the line that has surprised me the most of all.
Out of all of these.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've. Because I put, like, actual money on that, so you feel good about that.
I feel good about
all
it.
All right.
Yeah, so.
Okay. So here's the top five. Ready?
I'm ready.
Now, let's just recap the score. I'm 2-1 against you since if we're doing, like, this type of format. This one's a little tougher, so I'll give you 5 guesses.
Five strikes.
5 strikes.
Yeah. Okay.
I think this one's kind of. I'm not sure you'll get this, honestly.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to give it a go.
So, in honor of Jimbo, the top 5 buyouts in college football history. Biggest buyouts for firing a coach.
For firing a coach. Okay.
We talked about number 1, obviously.
Yes. So, who is going to be next? Can I do? I don't think I'm gonna be able to get. Oh well, I think I'm gonna go to schools eventually. Can we say Mac Brown for one?
Mac Brown is not one.
Mac Brown is not one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm not gonna know coaches' names well enough to be able to do this. But
I'll give you the conferences.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take a conference.
So there's 2 in the SEC, not counting Texas A&M. So 3, but. 2 unguessed one.
Okay. Is Gus Malzahn one of these?
He's number 2.
Okay.
At 20 million.
Yeah, Auburn coach.
Yeah.
Okay, and then one more SEC. So it's not Nick Saban left. He wasn't fired from LSU.
Right.
Urban quit.
This is recent.
It's a recent. Yeah, it's got to be.
All of these are relatively recent. Except for one. But the other SEC one's recent.
Yeah. I feel like it's Florida like two coaches ago.
No. I think you're thinking of Dan Mullen, but it's not him.
I am thinking of Dan Mullen. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Give me let's move away from the SEC for a second.
Okay, so ACC is another one. And then the other school is an independent. So I'm just, you have to get the coach on that one.
Yeah, that's because it's Notre Dame. Yeah, it's Notre Dame.
So he was a coordinator for the New England Patriots. Also coached at Kansas.
He's a coordinator for the New England Patriots and also coached at Kansas.
Overweight.
Was Matt Patricia? Was that?
No.
Yeah. I was going to say that. I really didn't think that he was. I really didn't think he was at Notre Dame, but that's just.
Oh, that's funny. No. Is that your second strike?
Yes. Yeah, that's my second strike. ACC, is ACC Florida State?
It is Florida State.
Okay. And I feel like let me try to get the decade because I feel like I would know I'm gonna know the coach's name as soon as you say it.
I can tell you what other schools he was at before.
Oh yeah, tell me that.
So he went Western Kentucky, Oregon, Florida State. I might have got the order mixed up, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Oh, I know.
No, I didn't get the order mixed up. Wait. Yeah.
I know who this is. Did you say Big 12 was one of them?
Big 12's not one.
Okay. I would have guessed Charlie Strong.
No. Tom Herman is number 6 and Art Briles is number 7.
Okay. So Oregon and then Florida State. I'm totally picturing this coach. Did he go to A&M after Florida State?
I don't know where this guy's at. I don't think he's at A&M though. Okay. I don't know where he's at though.
I'm not gonna know this guy's name. You can tell me.
Willie Taggart.
Yes, Willie Taggart.
This is probably a hard question.
I would have never guessed. This is a very hard question. Yeah. I think you overestimated my knowledge of coaching.
I wouldn't have got this, I think, by myself. I think if you gave me the school that I would have not. Like, if you told me.
Yeah, no, you could figure that out.
Do you want me to tell you the overweight Notre Dame guy?
Yes.
Charlie Weiss.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that. As soon as you said the name, it's like, oh, yeah, I know who this is.
But I think the only reason he got any jobs was because of Brady Quinn.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Did I tell you I saw Jeff Samardzija, who was a receiver at Notre Dame with Brady Quinn and then pitched in Major League Baseball? I saw him at a bar in Scottsdale. Maybe the biggest person, not like fat, but like just big person I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I could see that.
He's insane.
Yeah. No, yeah, I do remember you telling me that, actually.
And then number 5 is the SEC one, recent.
Recent SEC one.
He won a national championship.
He won a national championship. Okay, and we've already guessed Gus Malzahn. So let's see.
You got it.
Yes. He went to Miami after, right?
He might be coaching there. No, he's not a head coach anywhere. I don't know if he's coaching anywhere actually now.
Yeah. Oh gosh, I know this dude. He looks,
he's in the Blind Side.
Yes, he's big, like a old, like a 50-year-old muscular person, sort of big. He's got a receding hairline. I know exactly who it is.
And he talks like a Cajun.
Yeah, it's he was at Georgia for a very long time.
No, who are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of, so he was at Georgia and then he went to Miami.
Are you thinking of Mark Richt?
I am thinking of Mark Richt.
That's not what this is.
Okay. I guess a lot of that, what I described, probably matches a lot of coaches. Okay.
Ed Orgeron.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
When you say Miami, I was like, I think you just got it wrong. Like, I think you just mixed something up.
But... Yeah, no, no, no. I was thinking of Mark Richt.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, that was the hardest one. For sure.
Next week will be hard, but not as hard.
Okay.
Perfect. But I'm 3-1.
You are 3-1. Okay, yeah. I've got a couple ideas for you after this one.
Okay.
But yeah. So yeah, no, this is, I like this format. This is good.
Perfect. Okay. So I'm 3-1, feeling good. Appreciate everybody listening. It was a busy week. Next week is Thanksgiving. So we'll probably do it before maybe Wednesday or something like that.
Yeah, I think we can do it Wednesday.
I mean, Black Friday I'll be working, but it's not gonna be that busy, but I don't think we'll have that much to talk about.
Right.
Like, or no one will, like, be listening to it either on, like, Saturday of Thanksgiving.
Yes, yeah. You shouldn't. You should, you know, be eating turkey. I think next week we ought to do a Thanksgiving food sort of top five.
Okay.
Thing.
We could do, like, a draft or something, like, where we draft foods or something.
Oh, yeah,
like
that'd be a good one. I like that.
We'll figure some sort of format out, but we'll do a food-related top five.
Yeah.
I know you have some very strong opinions about that.
I do, and this is we'll save for next week.
Yeah. All right, well, appreciate everybody listening. I always forget to say this at the beginning, but if you got to this point, I'm assuming you've already subscribed, liked, done all that fun stuff. If you haven't, feel free to do so. Appreciate everybody listening. We'll talk to y'all next week.